Oh, hello there. Welcome to the library. How can I help you today? Okay. And do you have any books to return? Good. Okay, so you're just here to choose some and take them away. Great. If you could just hand me your library card and we'll get started. Thank you. Oh yes, okay. It's quite an old one. And there is sure. Okay. Yes, I can see you're all up to date. That's great. Thank you very much. And I can see your preferences here as well, which is fantastic because we've had a whole new load of books arrive today, just here. So they're all waiting for you. Exactly what you're looking for, I think. I'll keep your card here later on. So we have a massive range of different books right up your alley. Metaphysics, consciousness, self-realization, spirituality, that kind of thing. Okay, so let me show you what we have. In fact, quite a lot of these I haven't read myself, so I'm really looking forward to diving into them. So we have a few Eckhart Tolle. Have you read any Eckhart Tolle before? I think you probably have, haven't you? Oh yes, I can see. You've read The Power of Now. Okay. It's fantastic, isn't it? I think I've learned so much from that. Just one small, simple book. It's fantastic. I think every day I put it into practice. When you're feeling a little bit stressed or just your mind takes over, you know it. I think I just say to myself, am I okay now? And if I am, then I'm able to become more present in the present moment. It's a wonderful thing. Very simple concept, but once you have it, it changes everything. So, there it is. And we have a new earth and the practicing the power of now. On the back. The Power of Now has already proved to be one of the greatest spiritual books written in recent times. It contains a power that goes beyond words, and it can lead us to a much quieter place beyond our thoughts, a place where our thought-created problems dissolve, and we discover what it means to create a liberated life. And, okay, the practicing of the power of now is a carefully arranged series of excerpts. So, just quick snippets for you to remind you of what's in the main book. So, this would be quite nice for the bedside, perhaps, or going on a journey, just to recap. And then we move on to something a little bit more in depth, and that would be a new earth, create a better life. Taking off from The Power of Now, which was such a successful book, Thorpe provides the framework for people to move beyond themselves in order to make this world a better, more spiritually evolved place to live. So, it's how to go further once you have the knowledge to take it further and apply it to your life. Okay. Let's have a look. I know we have some Deepak Chopra. Where is that? So, of course, this one. Very popular. That's the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. I'm waiting to dive into this one. And let me see, just one I was thinking of. Here we are. This looks fascinating. Let's have a look at this together. You are the universe. Discovering your cosmic self and why it matters. What came before the Big Bang? What is the universe made of? And how did life first begin? So, it says here, in this pioneering new book, best-selling author Deepak Chopra joins forces with leading physicist Minas Kafatos to argue that science must adopt new methods in order to answer some of the very basic questions, such as, why does the universe fit together so perfectly? And where did it come from? So that seems to be quite an intense book and something which I'm quite ready for. I'm sure you are too. Do we live in a conscious universe? Okay. Is the quantum world linked to everyday life? So this one is so new, I don't even have a card in it yet, so I'll just organise that. I have to pop these inside. We've heard a few things move around lately. Beautiful new desk with lots of nice things on it. It's nice to have a change. New design of the cards. Have these stickers on the back there. And quite an old fashioned card. Space to stamp the date and a little pocket here. Still got on there. Okay, so that's the Deepak Chopra. Yes, I thought I had more, but oh yes, there's another one here. I thought there was another one. Let's have a look. It's purple as well. There we go. I just want to have a look at that too. It's a popular author. Yes, this one is called Quantum Healing. Exploring the frontiers of mind-body medicine. Interesting. So this is, when was it first published? It's quite a while ago, I think. About 20 years ago. So it's been printed quite a lot. Okay, so 1989. Okay. So the contents are: the body has a mind of its own, the sculpture or the river, the quantum mechanical human body. Actually reminds me a little bit of a book I've read, which I highly recommend. I don't know if you've taken a look at this one before. I often have it by my side. Let's put these ones over here. This is one of these books that I would recommend to everybody. It's quite in depth. A lot of information to take in, but it does put a lot of things into perspective. It's called The Biology of Belief, and for anyone who is concerned with scientific backing of a lot of things that they would call them spiritual people. A lot of things that spiritual people would say. Here is the evidence, and it's very, very interesting. The biology of belief will forever change how you think about your own thinking. Stunning new scientific discoveries about the biochemical effects of the brain's functioning show that all the cells of your body are affected by your thoughts. Thoughts become things. Be careful of your thoughts. Bruce Lipton, PhD, a renowned cell biologist, describes the precise molecular pathways through which this occurs. Using simple language, illustrations, humour, and everyday examples, he demonstrates how the new science of epigenetics is revolutionising our understanding of the link between mind and matter, and the profound effects it has on our personal lives and the collective life of our species. I think one of my favourite moments in this book is when he describes how every cell in our body is a liquid crystal, and that just really spoke to me. But he explains in massive detail how this is true, and it's just quite mind-blowing really. So I advise that you read this. Have you seen it before? Okay. Lots of people have read this. Okay, so there's one new book which absolutely fascinates me. I must show it to you. Aside from the actual content in words, this is one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. This book is called Be Here Now, and the author is Ram Dass. Beautiful man. It's just absolutely stunning. I'll show you a few of the pages. There's a picture of Ram Dass in here somewhere. Filled with these beautiful pages. Let's just pick through and find. You can see patterns unfolding, of which this life is only a part of a mosaic. But in order to do that, you have to have left the gravitational field of time and space as a matrix. You can't think in time and space. You can't be in your thoughts anymore. Because your thoughts are still in time and space, and you can't get out of time through them. You've got to be outside that. You've got to be in the place where you see your own. Conception, birth, childhood, adolescence, maturity, age, death. And not only that, a feast for the eyes. These beautiful pages. It's almost as if it makes it a challenge to read, so that you really have to take in every word and think about all the sentences and what they mean and how they apply to you. There's a lovely documentary about Ram Dass on, I think it's on Netflix at the moment, and it's just so good. He's such a lovely man. This is one of his most famous books, but he has so many. Absolutely loads of them. So, we should order those in actually, I think. Friends got this for me. I have lots of things in here. I've got some stamps, large English stamps for large letters, and an eraser. I like to use pencils quite a lot. Some hand cream. This one is hemp. also keep my hands moisturised throughout the day because I'm constantly handling paper, you know, and they get dry. I have scissors. This was a gift as well. This is my Harry Potter pencil, and I like to have these grips on my pencils as well. Quite old school, but they make them quite comfortable. Nail file, of course, when I'm at my desk. Another pencil. And this is a really nice face brush. So if I'm feeling particularly tired, or I've been a bit rushed, I'll show you what I do. Makes me feel very relaxed. I just do this. I concentrate on the feel of it, on the sensation of the soft brush, brushing my face. It makes me feel really calm and present and in the now. Practicing. Lovely. Look, feel how soft it is. Nice, no? Lovely. Just make that nice and tidy. Right, back to the box. So we went through Eckhart Tolle and the Deepak Chopra books and the Ram Dass pretty book. Now, these intrigue me a lot. Let's have a look at these. Which made its way into the pile. I'll show you this one first. This book is by a lady who often comes into this library. Her name is Sarah Benincasa. This is one of her books. She's an author. Real artists have day jobs and other awesome things they don't teach you in school. That I was rather uncomfortable with my brand new hair colour. It was an ill-advised attempt at blonde, a journey many women take with varying degrees of success at some point in their lives. True. We talked about hair and then got on to other subjects. After about 45 minutes, the woman said, "You know, since we started talking, you've apologised for your hair twice, and you've apologised for not wearing any makeup. Why do you think I would need you to have a different hair colour or lots of makeup? Do you think those things would make me like you better?" Well, she just about blew my mind with that one. First of all, I hadn't realised I'd apologised for my hair. I knew I'd mentioned it, but the apology had been so automatic that I hadn't even processed it as such. And I'd done it twice. Then I'd apologised for not wearing any makeup, as if my appearance sans mascara would offend this potential new friend. "Wow," I said, "you're right, I'm sorry." And then after a pause we both started laughing. "I think your hair looks great," she said. Intuitive People by Heidi Sawyer. 7 Right Brain Traits to Change the Lives of Intuitive, Sensitive People. Are you one of those? Thought so? Do you struggle with small talk and prefer deep conversation? Are you extremely sensitive to other people's moods? Do people describe you as highly perceptive? Are you exhausted after being in busy places? If you've answered yes to any of the above questions, you may be a highly intuitive person. Someone who is especially sensitive to the energy of others. Highly intuitive people, also known as intuitive sensitives, are a refined group of sensitive people who are said to make up 15 to 20% of the population. They experience their world through the deeper senses, generally have a calm persona, care deeply for other people, are very perceptive, and are often described as extremely wise and knowing. Very interesting. This one, Introvert Power. Why your inner life is your hidden strength. So not only do you get to learn about yourself, you get to learn how to turn it into your superpower. So, this looks very interesting. Embrace the power inside you. It's no wonder that introversion is making headlines. Half of all Americans are introverts. Really? But if that describes you, are you making the most of your inner strength? Psychologist and introvert Laurie Helgo unveils the genius of introversion. Introverts gain energy and power through reflection and solitude. Correct? Our culture, however, is geared toward the extrovert. The pressure to get out there and get happier can lead people to think that an inward orientation is a problem instead of an opportunity. Helga shows that the exact opposite is true. Introverts can capitalize on this inner source of power. Introvert power is a blueprint for how introverts can take full advantage of this hidden strength in daily life. How about that? Fantastic. I was having a little look through this, and there was a really interesting part right at the start, which drew me in straight away. And south of temperament. Montgomery, Alabama, December the 1st, 1955, early evening. A public bus pulls to a stop and a sensibly dressed woman in her 40s gets on. She carries herself erectly, despite having spent the day bent over an ironing board in a dingy basement tailor shop at the Montgomery Fair department store. Her feet are swollen, her shoulders ache. She sits in the first row of the coloured section and watches quietly as the bus fills with riders, until the driver orders her to give her seat to a white passenger. The woman utters a single word that ignites one of the most important civil rights protests of the 20th century. One word that helps America find its better self. The word is no. The driver threatens to have her arrested. "You may do that," says Rosa Parks. A police officer arrives. He asks Parks why she won't move. "Why do you all push us around?" She answers simply. "I don't know," he says, "but the law is the law, and you're under arrest." On the afternoon of her trial and conviction for disorderly conduct, the Montgomery Improvement Association holds a rally for Parks at the Holt Street Baptist Church in the poorest section of town. 5,000 gather to support Parks' lonely act of courage. They squeeze inside the church until its pews can hold no more. The rest wait patiently outside, listening through loudspeakers. I had always imagined Rosa Parks as a stately woman with a bold temperament, someone who could easily stand up to a busload of glowering passengers. But when she died in 2005 at the age of 92, the flood of obituaries recalled her as a soft-spoken, sweet, and small in stature. They said she was timid and shy, but had the courage of a lion. They were full of phrases like radical humility and quiet fortitude. What does it mean to be quiet and have fortitude? These descriptions asked implicitly, how could you be shy and courageous? Why shouldn't quiet be strong? And what else can quiet do that we don't give it credit for? This seems like a very good book to read. So what do you think? Which books would you like to take to start with? Okay, take these ones. Great. Let's pop the cards in, seeing as they're new. This one. Okay, let's start with the return date for today. Take the sticky part of the bag. There we are. One stamp. Okay. That's the second one. Let's do this on the top. So. One more card. Stuck together. Based on your account, let's see. Now I can give you your card back. Stamp your redemption card as well. Needs the expiry date on there. Right here. What's that for you? I hope you found that quite relaxing and informative. I enjoyed chatting with you. As I said, we have plenty more and you don't need to be taking them all at once, do you? It's a bit too much. But once you finish these, bring them back and you're very welcome to take any of the others that we spoke about. Okay? You enjoy those and do let me know how you get on with them because I'm very interested to read them myself. Fantastic. There you go. Leave those there for you. Then gather yourself together. Yeah.